Good afternoon. This is Brother John Osborne here at WYRM, 1480 AM with the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly. We're going through the book of Zechariah. I'm so glad you joined with us. I hope these messages are a blessing to your heart. We're going to read Zechariah chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. I'm not going to deal with chapter 5, verse 11, because I spent months on those verses showing how that Babylon will be rebuilt. That's what those verses deal with. And I also preached on the four messages concerning the dark side of Christmas and how that it was Nimrod's celebration. So we're going to deal with chapter 5, verse 1 through 4, Zechariah. We're going to read these verses. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For every one that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and every one that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. God hates lying, and he hates stealing. These are the complete opposite of who he is. I've preached all this before. I'm going to turn back over there again real quickly. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of John chapter 1 to show you how that lying and stealing are the complete opposite of who Jesus Christ is. It's the complete opposite of God. And so chapter 1 verse 14 says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Did you see that? Full of grace and truth. Man is full of lies and spiritual darkness. Then verse 16 says, And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Verse 17 of John 1, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now all those that's going to appear at the great white throne judgment, which you read about in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, is going to be all the lost, all the unrepentant sinners that died in their sins. And they will have to stand before Jesus Christ there at the great white throne judgment. They're going to be made to bow down and confess that Jesus, that He is Lord of all, to the glory of God. And then they will be cast into hell. You and I who are saved, we have been made to receive the righteousness of Christ. What does that mean? That means that Jesus Christ has made you and I to be as holy, unblameable, and pure as God the Blessed Trinity and as Himself. Now, we don't have that in our daily life, but in our standing in Christ before God, we are just as holy and pure and unblameable concerning sin as He is. We have a perfect standing through Jesus Christ. All liars and thieves will be purged from the earth. Man, what a day that's going to be, because all the problems we're experiencing right now is the result of pretty much lies. My goodness, I believe there's going to be so many politicians at the great white throne judgment. I believe that Washington, D.C., is, unless they repent, is loaded down with politicians and other people that are connected to them, that are just spiritually dark, dead in sins, and lying. Oh, the lying that goes on in the politics is unbelievable. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to find themselves in the hands of an angry God. Now, this is the 10th time that God has come to Zechariah with messages concerning the future of Israel and Jerusalem. And in this message, we're going to see what God thinks about lying and stealing. Now, chapter 5, you say, oh, Brother John, he doesn't deal with Israel and Jerusalem in chapter 5. Well, yes, he does, because Israel has believed, her eyes have been blinded. She believes, she has been believing a lie since the day that Jesus died on the cross. As a nation now, there's Jewish people that are saved all the time, but as a nation, Israel does not believe that her Messiah raised from the dead. She does not believe her Messiah has come. She's waiting for her Messiah to come as a commander-in-chief and save her from her enemies, which is exactly what's going to happen when Jesus returns to the earth 7 years after the rapture. But for right now, Israel is blinded and she believes the lie that Jesus Christ, her Messiah, her prophetical son, has not come as of yet. Now, all of us that have come out of the womb are natural born liars. Psalms 58 verse 3 teaches you that the wicked go estranged from the womb. As soon as they be born, they go forth speaking lies. There's something you do not have to, that you and I did not have to be taught. There's something that your children did not have to be taught, and that is to lie. We do it well because it's in, it's deep in our nature. Adam and Eve are the only people who were never born. They were created. So they know nothing about being born. But all of their descendants, every one of them, humanity, that's been is conceived in sin, and are liars while they're in the womb and when they come out of the womb. God hates all lying. He hates all stealing. And the reason why that is because if you look at the world today, you can take it back to lying and stealing. Lying is stealing. It's a form of stealing. Stealing the truth from people is a lie. Look at our media, how much it has lied. The only news that I watch is I watch Newsmax. I'll listen to conservative talk radio, but I listen on the television. I'll watch Newsmax. If you can get that, you'd be wise to listen to it. But if you're listening to these other news stations, these other news programs, you're being lied to. You're not hearing the truth. But God hates all lies, even when His own sheep lies and steals. You say you think that a child of God would do that? Well, absolutely. We're just as capable of doing any sin that any lost person does because we're still clothed in a body that is spiritually dead. And it's in love with this world. And we have Jesus living inside of us. So we've now got an inner man and an outer man. And these two go to war with each other. So when we sin, God will chastise us. Now, you say, well, that don't sound too bad. Well, you might want to rethink that. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're not going to turn and read these, but I'm going to give them to you for you to write down. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 through 32, and 1 John 5, verse 16, you read about God killing His own sheep. But you never will read in the Scriptures where He ever abandons His own sheep. He will not do that. God will kill His own children if they persist on in sinning against Him, because He's not going to allow His saints to just continually go on and on and on. God the Father will not allow His Son to be misrepresented that way. God will do something. God the Father will do something in honor of His Son. In Numbers 25, verse 1 through 9, you'll read where God killed thousands of His own covenant people when they began, which was Israel, for committing spiritual and physical adultery with the people of Moab. Now, God's Ten Commandments, they are the bedrock of civility for individual people and for every society and nation. If you don't have, now, every human being has the Ten Commandments, according to Romans chapter 2. Written on the conscience of their heart. But any nation that has had the Ten Commandments, such as America, and has done away, right now we are witnessing an attack upon Christianity. That's what this, the bottom root problem or cause of what's going on in America today is Satan using his people to attack Jesus Christ, his people, and his faith. We are witnessing an all-out attack by Satan and the demons upon Christianity in this country. Our education system is raping the minds of our children. They are robbing them, so to speak, of their souls. Our children are going to be so messed up. I fear that if the Lord tarries his coming, and or if he does not intervene and save our children from these perverts and reprobates that's in our schools, that's allowing these drag queens to come in, that's teaching that there's no certain or absolute genders, I fear, and I hope I'm wrong, but I fear there's going to be a terrible price that's going to be paid with our children. And I'm talking about possibly an astronomical amount of suicide because of what's being presented to them. So we've got to get the Ten Commandments back. When the Ten Commandments was in our schools, we did not have the problems that we're having today. When the Ten Commandments was in our municipal buildings, we've always had sin, but it never exploded like it has today. 1980 is when the Supreme Court ruled that the Ten Commandments could be taken down in our municipal buildings, and guess who moved in? That's right, Satan did. Now, lying and stealing are part of God's Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, verse 15, the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. And then Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, the ninth commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So that's lying. They follow each other because they are related. Lying is stealing. And anybody that will steal will lie, because they will lie to get out of trouble. But I want you to notice that they're closely related, not only in the Ten Commandments, but here in Zechariah chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. So, there's much damage that can be done from these two sins. As a matter of fact, the root cause of what's happening today is that lying and stealing, there's no foundation. These two sins will chip away and destroy the foundations of civility. And we pretty much don't have a foundation anymore. At least, I'm hoping at this next midterm election that the saints of God and all the good people, moral people that are not Christians, will vote the right way. I will tell you this, if you wear the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm not politicking here, if you wear the name of Jesus Christ and you vote for these communist Democrats with what they believe, and or if you vote for these rhino Republicans for what they believe, quit wearing the name of Christ. Because you're going to give an account for how you vote and what you support. Now, the worst preachers that's on the earth right now, or the worst liars, is preachers. Lying preachers are the worst of all liars, because people's souls, they're going to be held accountable for what they said to people's souls. God uses the preaching of the word to save souls. And every one of his elect is going to hear the gospel by his man or men. But on the human side of this issue, these false preachers, these liars, are going to be held accountable for everyone that listens to them and goes to hell. There's a lot of television preachers that I believe are false. There's no prophets, but I call them false prophets. They're false preachers. They're Satan's preachers. I get so angry when I hear these men talk about, if you'll plant a seed, and they're wanting you to hand in a $50 bill or $50 or $100. They call it a seed. And they promote this lie that if you'll do this, if you'll hand in their ministry, God's going to cause that $50 to turn into $500 or whatever. You're going to be blessed immensely. These are high-priced salesmen. And these men, I guarantee you, these false preachers on television live better than the average person. Now, in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, then I turned. So after seeing God's vision of the golden candlestick that I preached on last Sunday to you, which represents Israel, and you remember the two olive trees and the two golden pipes that were hooked up to the olive tree, which showed forth. And then it says in verse 12, the golden oil. Now, you remember when I told you with Moses' candlestick, the people had to go out and gather the olives off the trees and extract the juice and bring it to the priest so they could have it to burn the golden candlestick that Moses built. This candlestick that Zechariah saw was not a physical, it's not a literal, not a real candlestick. It was one in a vision. And we saw where those two olive trees in Revelation chapter 11 are the two prophets that are going to once again start preaching after the rapture. They'll be the first two saved people on the earth after the rapture. And there's two prophets that have not died as of yet. That's Enoch and Elijah. Moses has died. He will not be one of them. But note that golden candlestick showed how that Israel is going to shine in the millennial above all other nations. Now, Zechariah, he heard this flying robe. He says, then I turned. Something turned Zechariah around. It says it right there in verse 1. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes. So this flying robe was coming with such speed that Zechariah could hear it like you and I could hear a plane. And he knew exactly where to turn, and he knew from the sound of it that it was higher than he was. And so as he turned, he lifted up his eyes. And so what are we seeing from this? This roll was coming. It had something that was very important written on it, and it was coming with such expediency in the vision that it made a sound that turned or caused Zechariah to turn around and look at it. It was important, and it was to be preached. So Zechariah said in verse 1, and I lifted up mine eyes. So he knew it was coming down, which means this flying robe came from heaven. And behold, a flying robe. What was written on this flying robe was of the utmost importance. And that's why God sent it with such rapidity, with such speed. God didn't want it delivered to Zechariah any other way because it would have taken too long. This message was needed, and we need it today. We don't need liars in the pulpits. We need men, and men only, that have been called of God to preach, that are fearless, full of love, but fearless, and roars like a lion with the truth of God's Word. God has given us His complete Word in the King James Version, and demands His preachers to preach all of it. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Sad to say, we've got cowards in the pulpits. And they value preaching, and they value their money that they're making more important than preaching the truth. If you, as a preacher, are withholding anything from the people, go ahead and step down, because God is done with you. And if He's never called you to preach, you shouldn't have been in that pulpit to begin with. Maybe you're just too lazy to go out and get a job and work. Now, who was talking to Zechariah? The same angel has been talking to him from chapter 1. And the angel says in verse 2, what seest thou? So we need to think about what we would answer the Lord if He were to ask us, what seest thou in the Scriptures? Those who believe God is finished with Israel. You've heard me preach on this often. What in the world are they going to say back to Him if they, and I believe He will ask them that at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe preachers are going to give an account for what they intentionally preached or what they did preach, which was wrong, contrary to His Word. What are they going to say back to Jesus when they stand before Him? They might be saved, but they haven't had any understanding on this. And the best thing to do as a preacher, if you don't have any scriptures and you don't feel comfortable, don't preach. But you get on that subject and you find out how you can present it to the people. If it's in God's Word, He wants it preached. But what are these all millennialists who say that God's done with Israel? What are they going to tell Him when the whole book, when He says my whole book of Zechariah and the last chapters of Israel, the 40th through 48th chapter of Ezekiel and Daniel, all deals with Israel's future. What can you say for yourself as a minister? There are many subjects that God could ask a lot of people who believe incorrectly about them, which He has made very clear in His holy Word. And I, even when preparing this message, I was wondering what their answer might be. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Now, you can't be saved and believe what I'm about to mention right here. It says that Jesus walked on the earth after he raised himself from the dead for 40 days, proving that death cannot hold him. There are religious organizations that denies the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then please tell me how the people saw Jesus for 40 days after he raised himself from the dead. What would be the purpose of Acts chapter 1 verse 1 through 3 if Jesus did not raise in a physical body, because humans cannot see spiritual beings? They have to be clothed in a body. You've got angels all around you. You've got demons all around you. You can't see them. It would scare you to death if you could. But God clothed himself in a body, and that body he was crucified with was the body that he raised himself from the dead with and walked on this earth for 40 days. So if you leave this world believing that Jesus rose only in spirit and not in body, you are going to go to hell. There's religious groups, many, quite a few of them, that does not believe in the physical resurrection. The Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9, that we're saved by God's amazing grace. Yet you got others that says you can lose your salvation. Does not make any sense. So Zechariah was asked this question, "What seest thou?" by the angel that talked with him. And he said in verse 2, "I see a flying roll." Zechariah turns around, and because of the noise of this flying roll, he looks up to see that it's coming at him. Why? Because he's God's preacher. That's why. God gives messages to his preachers. He does not give messages to anybody else except his ministers. Now, why did this angel ask him why he was turning around to see what was coming when he already knew Zechariah saw the flying roll in verse 1? First, he was showing Zechariah the importance of this flying roll. And secondly, he was going to make sure Zechariah never forgot the vision. And Zechariah said in verse 2, after he said, "I see a flying roll, the length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits." This flying roll was 30 feet long and 10 feet wide. Now, what's the purpose of that? It's to show the magnanimity, or the size and the importance of the message that was written on this flying roll. Think of the importance of this message, or the messages that are found in God's holy word, all the other subjects that are to be preached on. Verse 3, "Then said he unto me," the angel is about to explain to Zechariah what is on this flying roll, showing us that unless God reveals his word to not only his preachers, but to us as saints of God, we will not be able to see the truth. So the angel in verse 3, when Zechariah said, "Then said he unto me," the angel's getting ready to explain what's on this roll. Jesus Christ has to be revealed. You cannot do anything to get Jesus Christ. In Galatians 1, verse 15 through 17, Jesus Christ must be revealed. Paul said that when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. And so Jesus Christ's salvation is presented as a revelation. And in John chapter 3, verse 3 through 8, it's presented as a birth. And in Galatians, it's also spoken of, I believe it's in chapter 3, about an adoption. And here's the message on the row, verse 3. "This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth." This message that Zechariah saw is going to cover the whole earth. Why? Because as of right now, Zechariah is looking at the end days. How do you know that? Well, because verse 5 through 11 deals with the rebuilding of Babylon in the last days. And so, as we are now in the last days, the two sins that's being dealt with, the lying and the swearing falsely, is prominent. It's dominating the world. It's in our schools. It's in our media. It's in our politics. It's in our entertainment business. And so lying and stealing is what's being dealt with here. Now look what it says. "This is the curse that goeth forth," verse 3, "over the face of the whole earth." God the Holy Spirit is going to hunt down every unrepentant liar. And he's going to get them. And he's going to bring them to judgment. Verse 3, "For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it." One side of this flying row is dedicated to all the thieves in the world. God's going to get you. You may say, "Well, I don't even believe in God." That's irrelevant. It doesn't matter what you think. God, let me ask you something. If you've got a pen laying beside you, or just think about a pen, a writing pen, did that pen come into existence by itself, or is that not a witness of human intelligence? Well, of course, man had to make it. Well, since we've agreed that just a simple $2 pen that you write with is evidence of human intelligence, next time you step out at nighttime, you see those gazillion stars, ask yourself how that got up there. If a pen requires human intelligence, then creation requires divine intelligence. You're without excuse. So the one side of this roll is dedicated to all the thieves and all those who have that we've seen looting on the news. Remember when our streets were on fire, our cities were on fire, and all the looting and the stealing? God is going to get every one of those we saw going into those stores and stealing. And then verse 3 goes on to say it, everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. In other words, that's talking about taking an oath. God does not approve of people making promises and not keeping them. God loves promise keepers, not promise breakers. All who have taken the marriage vows promised before God that they would be faithful to their spouse until death separated them, and have then broken that promise, which God is going to hold them accountable. They swore they would do it, and they lied. You can be forgiven by asking the Lord to forgive you for these sins. They're not the unforgivable sins. Verse 4 says, and I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts. God's bringing this judgment. It's on its way. Zechariah wrote about this 2,500 years ago. It's going to take place. God's going to get the Antichrist. The biggest lie after the rapture is going to be the Antichrist. He's going to be claiming to be God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, not just Jesus Christ, he's claiming to be God. And he's going to be worshipped in the temple as God. Jesus called Satan the father of lies. And the Antichrist will be Satan's man. And it says in verse 4, and he shall enter into the house of the thief. This curse is going to hunt down everyone like a bloodhound on a trail, only eternally better. Sometimes foxes and coons. I was raised up in the hills of West Virginia, and man, I tell you, a lot of those coon hunters take their dogs and hunting serious, and they'll listen to their dogs run through the mountains, and they'll tree one. But I'm here to tell you that God the Holy Spirit is going to go hunt down every liar and every thief, every repentant liar and thief, and you'll read about them standing in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. In closing, these liars that we've witnessed in the during the COVID time, I just read today where a senior Pfizer executive, her name is Janine Small, she has now come out and admitted that the drug company did not know whether its COVID vaccine prevented the spreading of the virus. We were told that it was. You want to know why they lied to you? Billions of dollars were on the line, and they lied. She was testifying before the European Union Parliament, and she told this. And so there was a representative there by the name of Rob Roos, and he said getting vaccinated for others was a lie, and that's all we heard. I'm going to tell you another lie here real quick. You remember hearing that you had to stay 6 feet apart? That was the stupidest thing that I ever heard in my life. And Anthony Fauci, the ultimate scientist, was out there telling us 6 feet apart. This was all lies, folks. Anthony, I want to tell you something about Anthony Fauci in closing. Did you know in 2019 through 2021 that he and his wife's wealth went up $5 million while everybody else was losing their homes, their jobs, and many committed suicide? Do you know that now his wealth is over $12.6 million while people were losing everything else? BLM and Antifa, they let on like they're for black people. They're liars. If they really care for black people, they'd have been in Chicago trying to stop the black-on-black crime. God's going to get every liar, friends. He's going to get every thief. repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Brother John here, Landmark Baptist Church Assembly, and we pray you'll join us next Sunday at 3 p.m. Until then, God bless.